Another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day despite the fact that a great phony and fraud claims that she is America's worst nightmare. Why? Because she is such a noble and heroic person who loves to run down her country and basically claim that jihad is an innocent undertaking. We will get to that in just a moment. Also, we will talk about junk science. Does it play a role in our public debates? Of course it does. Is there a good chance that part of what you may believe to be true is in fact junk science? Well, when you read this new book, The Little Black Book of Junk Science, there's probably something in there that you take seriously that is classified by the authors from the American Council for Science and Health, who the authors believe is junk science. We will be speaking with one of the authors in just a few moments on the Michael Medved Show. And meanwhile, there is a one science that is sometimes called junky, the science of economics. But that teaches that there is a very, very simple and easy way for you to build up a nest egg by the time you're 60 that'll be at least $90,000 without giving up anything or working extra hours. What's the magic? We will get to that in just a moment as well. First off, I spoke last week about Linda Sarsour, who was the main spokesperson for that moronic woman's march against Donald Trump that did absolutely nothing except waste a colossal amount of time and money and energy the day after President Trump was inaugurated. Honestly, if you participated in the women's march and you feel really good about what that women's march achieved, listening to Madonna and listening to Ashley Judd and listening to all the hysteria, I mean, think about how much money was spent by people to travel to Washington to go on that march. And for what? Think of what that money could have done in terms of building little tiny houses to house people, in terms of helping people with scholarships to college, in terms of feeding the sick, feeding the hungry, healing the sick. You want to feed the sick, you can feed them too. It was just insane. And yes, she was criticized because she was speaking to a Muslim group and she had glorified the idea of a jihad against Trump, a jihad against this administration. And she committed herself to every single day. She's going to wake up and she's going to be part of this jihad. She now has a column that they ran in The Washington Post. It's pathetic. The headline is, "Islamophobes are attacking me because I'm their worst nightmare." How is she anybody's worst nightmare? Except the worst nightmare of the Democratic Party, who is going to be profoundly discredited by the association of people like this with the party. The Washington Post describes her, says, Linda Sarsour is an activist and a co-chair of the Women's March on Washington. Yeah, that's a great job. She says, "In my speech, I sent not a call to violence, but a call to speak truth to power and to commit to the struggle for racial and economic justice. I was speaking to an all-Muslim audience. As an American, I should be free to share and discuss scripture and teachings of my beloved prophet. My statements were clear, and my activism track record is even clearer. My work has always been rooted in nonviolence as exposed by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Most disturbing about this recent defamation campaign is how it is focused on demonizing the legitimate yet widely misunderstood Islamic term I used, jihad, which to a majority of Muslims and according to religious scholars means struggle or to strive for. This term has been hijacked by Muslim extremists and right-wing extremists alike, leaving ordinary Muslims to defend our faith and in some cases silenced." Okay, let's not silence Linda Sarsour. Here is what she had to say, speaking a couple of days ago to a Muslim rally.
"Sisters and brothers, it's been 16, almost 17 years since the horrific attacks of 9/11. And we still, as a community, find ourselves unprepared. in so many moments. Why, sisters and brothers, why are we so unprepared? Why are we so afraid of this administration and the potential chaos that they will ensue on our community? And we already saw their potential when they come out every few weeks, Muslim ban one, Muslim ban two, Muslim ban three. They are relentless, they are persistent and consistent, and want to see how much we as a community can endure, and want to see who our friends are and how hard we're going to fight back against this administration. And I hope that we, when we stand up to those who oppress our communities, that Allah accepts from us that as a form of jihad, that we are struggling against tyrants and rulers, not only abroad in the Middle East or in the other side of the world, but here in these United States of America, where you have fascists and white supremacists and Islamophobes reigning in the White House.
Okay, she talks about jihad and compares it to jihad in the Middle East, struggling against tyrants and oppressive rulers. And then she uses that term terminology here. Does that sound like we're talking about passive resistance? Is that what's going on in the Middle East? How many Middle Eastern countries, let's take a show of hands, are characterized by passive, nonviolent resistance? When she says we have to follow the example, sisters and brothers, of jihad against Donald Trump, isn't it right for her to take this back? In this whole entire screed that she wrote in the Washington Post, not once does she acknowledge that she made a mistake by not being very specific and rejecting violence. How does this help the Muslim community? You notice what she said? She said in her speech, it's been 16, 17 years since September 11th. Okay, it's going on to 16 years since September 11th. And she doesn't say we still haven't put down this evil of Islamic extremism. We still haven't put down terrorism. We haven't stopped it. We haven't stopped this rot in our own community. Says we're still not prepared to handle Trump. Did Trump cause September 11th? Did Trump cause genocide in Syria? She went on and said this.
We have to stay outraged. Do not criticize me when I say that we as a Muslim community in these United States of America have to be perpetually outraged every single day. When I wake up in the morning and I remember who's sitting in the White House, I am outraged. This is not normal, sisters and brothers. Those people sitting in the most powerful seats in this country is not normal.
Okay, stop. We have to be perpetually outraged. What's the opposite of happiness? Anger. Outrage. And when she says she's our worst nightmare, she says at the conclusion of her column, I refuse to be intimidated. I will not walk away from the people and communities whom I love deeply. I will to continue to raise my voice. She says, I will to continue to raise my voice for justice and equality for all. Organized communities who want to defend the rights of black people stand against policies that target and marginalize Muslims and advocate for health care for all people. Dissent is the highest form of patriotism. I'm sorry. That is pathetic. Fighting for your country, putting your body in harm's way, risking everything you are and everything you have to defend your country is the highest form of patriotism. Making a personal sacrifice on behalf of your country is the highest form of patriotism, not dissent. What a load. Oh, I loathe this. Dissent is the highest form of patriotism, and I intend to continue to push my country to respect the rights of all its citizens. I will not be silenced. Hey, I don't want to silence you. I just want you to get smart. And she says the reasons I am subjected to such particularly public vitriol are simple. I am a Palestinian-American woman in a hijab who has become a familiar presence and name in American living rooms. That's not why you are subjected to such particular public vitriol. It's because you called for a jihad against the president of the United States. Now, yes, you can say jihad means struggle or to strive for. It also means holy struggle, holy war. Imagine if a Christian had said, my brothers and sisters, we call for a holy crusade. A holy crusade. Every day I want people to wake up outraged that Obama's in the White House. Do you think that would have been a constructive thing, do you? I mean, this is pathetic and sick. So how do you heal? And how can you get ahead financially? I'm going to give you a simple means by which you can end up by the age of 60, if you start by the age of 30, with 90 grand. Yeah, really. Real money. Coming up on the MedVed Show.
Save 50% plus free shipping on MyPillow's 4-pack special. Call 800-320.
21 minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, talking about, junk politics, junk science, and junk economics, there is a piece that caught my attention, and I've been bending people's ear about it, people who are close to me. It's a kind of thing I love to talk about because it's kind of counterintuitive, but it's very smart and it's very true. And it's a piece that ran in USA Today. We've posted it up at our website at michaelmedved.com. It's by a writer at the business section, the money section at USA Today, named Adam Schell. And he asks a question, and it's a provocative question. And we'll get to your calls in just a moment. But Adam Schell says, is eating lunch out 2 times a week worth losing out on a potential investment windfall of $88,000? Turns out the average American forks over, and forks over is the right term because we're talking about stuff that you eat that ends up disappearing and turning into something else. In any event, turns out the average American forks over $11.14 twice a week for lunch, according to a major news survey. But if you skipped that meal and redirected the $1,043 spent each year into an investment account earning 6%, you'd have an estimated savings of $88,500 30 years later. That's just in 30 years. So let's say you start at the age of 30 and you keep this at the age of, till the age of 60. You end up saving that amount of money. He writes, this personal finance math lesson shows how seemingly inexpensive everyday indulgences can add up to a big hit to your net worth without you even knowing it. And then he writes about the latte factor, or the long-term cost of parting with cash every single day for a high-priced coffee drink, or stopping at the food truck for a roll and butter and a container of orange juice, or regularly spending a few dollars on new apps for your phone. The article quotes Francis Kinnery, who's a principal at Vanguard Investment Strategy Group. Small changes in your life can add up to a bigger nest egg. The key when it comes to saving is most people are thinking about the big things, like not going on vacation or not buying a new car. But it's really the little daily things that you do on a regular basis that can really add up. And the amount of money that Americans spend eating outside the home has been on a steady rise. U.S. households now spend over $3,000, $8.35 every day on average eating out. That's up nearly 15% in just the last 2 years, according to statistics from the Bureau of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, Department of Labor. It's amazing. Investing $3,008 every year, this is what people spend eating out, earning 6% would add up 30 years later to an account balance of more than $250,000. Okay, wait, stop. So let's say that you don't give up eating out entirely, but you cut it down by a third. You're still talking about $85,000, right? Just by cutting back. Similarly, investing $350 a day for 30 years instead of buying a latte would add up to savings of $107,000. Okay, it is worth thinking about this stuff. And I will tell you, it was a long time ago. Actually, it was when we moved to this new office, Jeremy. When we moved to this new office, because I have free coffee here, which is great. And it's one of the perks of a radio station. No, they're not fancy. It's not cappuccino, and it's not, if you want that and you want fancy espresso drinks, you have to pay for it at the machine downstairs. But generally, good, strong, wake-me-up-in-the-morning coffee, it's available. And I think everybody on Team Medved brings stuff from home, right? I mean, brown bag it. And you know what? It can really help you out as the years go by. Let's go to your calls to Chaim in Los Angeles. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to comment about something you were saying about Susan. I think the woman name is, her name is Susan Sarsour?
No, Linda Sarsour.
I'm sorry, Linda Sarsour.
Right.
And I could hear how upset you were about her calling for a jihad against Trump. And how you said she is, I'm not sure if you said it's she or just is Muslims in general use jihad. But you know, I have yet to hear you criticize people who were so angry and so nasty against Barack Obama when he became president.
Oh, I criticize them all the time.
But did you forget about the Christian warriors?
No. I criticize those folks all the time. And
I hear you at all. I never heard you criticize.
Okay. Did you ever hear me talk about birtherism? I talked about it a lot, and I was the first one out there.
Okay. You, it's fine for you to change the subject to birtherism. That's just another reason why Republicans are so disgusting.
Oh, wait. Chaim, take it easy. I'm giving you an example. I thought birtherism was the worst kind of Obama hatred because it was based on nothing. It was based on nonsense and lies. And in terms of people, there's nothing that I got involved in more arguments on the air than the idea that Obama secretly wanted to destroy America. I thought people who said that were irresponsible, they were foolish, and they were wrong. So
you criticize those people who are using religion once again because of their ignorance. People on the right tend to come up with religious arguments because God told them to do this. God, stop it with the God stuff, okay? Enough. Separate your religion from our politics. That's
okay, and by the way, if you listen to this show, I don't think I have ever once said that God expects you to be a conservative or to vote Republican or that one side or another. Because you know why? Because it makes religion less. It's not that it makes politics less. It makes religion less and lowers it because people make political mistakes all the time.
And people make religious mistakes all the time, too.
They do, and they make religious mistakes by injecting politics into religion, not just
religion. No. Stop.
Yes. What?
It's religion being injected into politics.
Wait,
you
think it's good to inject politics into religion?
I think they should both be separated.
Okay, agreed. I agree with you completely. And by the way, when people question the idea that they said, oh, well, Barack Obama's not a Christian, he's a secret Muslim, he's this, I also made fun of that and talked about it a lot. Because, again, I do believe that you demean politics and poison it, and you demean religion and poison it if you confuse the two. So where else are people confused? Sometimes confused about science. We will get to that. There is a new book called The Little Black Book of Junk Science. The author is somebody who's also a frequent contributor to USA Today and somebody who's one of the best voices out there talking about what truly is scientifically reliable. And what's profoundly unreliable and, in fact, dangerous and harmful. We'll be talking about junk science coming up. 34 minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show. The junk science is a problem all around us. I mean, all the time you hear various claims that are, well, ridiculous. And that's why there is a little book right now that's actually quite useful and very informative. And it's by my friend Alex Berezow, who's a Dr. Alex Berezow. He's a PhD in microbiology from University of Washington, which has an outstanding program in microbiology. And Alex's most recent book, which is published by the American Council on Science and Health, is called The Little Black Book of Junk Science. Why is this black, Alex?
We actually wanted it to be a little black book of junk science, just like it says, so that people, you know, congressmen can put it in their pocket, and one side they have the Constitution, and the other side they can pull out the little black book of junk science.
Okay, and it's a junk science from
acrylamide.
Okay, acrylamide at the beginning to the very end. What's the last Z?
We didn't find one for Z, so it's Y, Yucca Mountain.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yucca Mountain. So what's wrong with Yucca Mountain? Isn't that where old nuclear fuel goes to die?
Well, it should be. But the junk science is that the Obama administration actually shut it down, despite the fact that it's one of the best studied pieces of real estate in the universe. And it's a great place to put our nuclear waste, but it was shut down for political reasons.
Yeah, it's so much better to put it into what?
Well, right now what we're doing is we're keeping it on site, you know, all over the country at various nuclear power plants. And it's safer to put it all into one repository.
All right. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. One of the things that I was looking for in this junk science was gender dysphoria. This whole idea that gender is a construct, that there is no such thing as male-female differences. You do address the idea that there is such a thing as sex differences.
Absolutely. In fact, we write about how culture seems to be confused about the sexes, and that biology teaches us that there are very real differences between men and women. People don't know it's not just basic plumbing. Even our immunological responses are different between men and women. So any denials that there are no real differences between the genders is junk science.
How about vaccinations? A lot of dangers with vaccinations, are there?
Well, yeah, the danger is not getting vaccinated. And, vaccines have been one of the number one best public health invention ever.
Yeah, and the junk science, the idea that there are children who are going to be exposed to unnecessary suffering and maybe even serious illness and death because their parents are taken in by Jenny McCarthy. She is the leading scientific voice against vaccines, isn't she?
Smartest Playboy bunny ever. Yes.
Absolutely. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. You do not mention climate change in the book, The Little Black Book of Junk Science. So do you think that the science is well established that by spending literally trillions of additional dollars to get rid of all use of fossil fuels, is the science very clear that that is a way that we can save polar bears?
So a couple things on that. One of the reasons we don't talk about climate change is that climate's sort of outside of our purview. We're the Council on Science and Health. We focus on biomedical. But I don't think that it is a good use of money to spend billions or trillions of dollars reducing carbon emissions by a fraction. I think that money should be better spent by bringing electricity to poor people, vaccinating people, giving food to children. I've written about this, actually, that climate change is not the world's number one concern. There's a list of 100 other things, from North Korea to malnutrition, that would be far bigger concerns, in my opinion.
What's the scientific way to deal with North Korea?
Let's get them on Twitter and have them fight it out with Donald Trump, I think.
1-800-955-1776, our phone number. Am I okay with coffee?
Oh, man. Coffee's fantastic. Yes, it's fine. And you know, here's the ironic thing is that coffee itself contains dozens of carcinogens. Carcinogens are things that cause cancer, right? And yet, a cup of coffee a day actually seems to be good for you. Studies show that coffee's healthy for you. And so this is one thing that people should take away from the book, is that just because we can detect a toxin somewhere doesn't mean that it's actually bad for you.
We're speaking with Alex Barazow. His latest book is The Little Black Book of Junk Science. It's posted up at our website. And here's some good news. It's free, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They'll
right.
send it to you from American Council on Science.
No, just go to our website and download it. It's PDF available.
Days to send it back. And meanwhile, if you go to MyPillow.com and you use the promo code MEDVED with an M, then you get 50% off plus free shipping any product they make. Go back to MyPillow.com, or you can give them a call at call them at 1-800-320-6280. speaking right now to the author of the Little Black Book of Junk Science. Let's go quickly to Barrett in Houston. Barrett, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Alex Barazow.
Yes, I'm looking forward to getting your guest's book, the Little Black Book of Junk Science, but I do want to ask him a question. I'm in perfect health. I don't have diabetes or high blood pressure or anything, and I was in perfect health last year at 62 years old, working out regularly, and my doctor offered me a tetanus booster, and I took it. And 40 hours later, I woke up with screaming tinnitus in both ears, and I've had it since, almost a year now. It's livable, but it's not good. And so I wanted to ask him if that was a coincidence.
I'm not a medical doctor, but I can give you, so I can't give you medical advice, but my guess is it probably would be coincidence. I've never heard of any side effects of a vaccine being ringing in your ears. My guess would be a complete coincidence. And it's actually a good thing that you got your booster shot, because if you're out in the garden, if you do things like that, it's good to have that tetanus booster shot.
And Barrett, I do know that tinnitus is extraordinarily common, and it's usually associated with people over the age of 60. And you're not alone. And from what I understand from physicians, sometimes it comes and goes. And they don't really have a great handle on it, do they, Alex?
No, my mother, I believe, has that. And she worked in a very noisy hospital. And so, it just happens as you get older.
Let's go to John Stewart, Florida. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
Yeah, I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago, and I heard this writer say that nobody cares about global warming, climate change.
He didn't say
that. Does he have any kids?
He didn't say that.
Well, he said it's way down at 100 times. Nobody cares about it, hardly.
Okay,
what
you want to clarify what
you
said,
I just
Alex?
Tuned in.
No, I appreciate your calling. Alex, go ahead.
I think it's a concern, but looking at the world's problems, from the Middle East to North Korea to 5 million children dying from malnutrition every year to, you name it, to the Euro crisis. I just don't see it as one of my top concerns. If I was to prioritize the world's problems, it wouldn't be in my top 10.
So he didn't say that nobody cares about it. Obviously, a lot of people care about it a great deal. Do you think it's a crisis, John?
Yeah, I think we're destroying this planet through overpopulation. We're destroying the air, the ozone layer.
Actually, overpopulation isn't a problem. So demographers believe that the world population is going to slow down and peak sometime around the year 2100. So there are about 7 billion people now. We will hit probably 11 billion around 2100, and then we will decline after that. That seems to be the consensus in the field. And
by that time, New York City is going to be underwater. Miami is going to be underwater. And we're going to have wars around the world because people, this flooding and this droughts and all caused by climate change.
Well, if that's the case, and I do share your concern about rising ocean levels, I share that concern. I think that, we will have some time to adjust. We can start building and preparing now.
And when you say rising ocean levels, when do you think that becomes dangerous, if it ever does, Alex?
It's probably decades away. So we're going to have time to prepare.
I've heard centuries, potentially. The idea, by the way, John, do you know how much ocean levels have risen so far since all these years of industrialization?
I'm not sure, but it's raising very fast. There was a village up in Alaska. They had to move. They had to relocate it.
But that happens
underwater. There's polar bears starving to death because they caught most of the seals on the ice floes. There's no ice.
Alex, you're in touch, aren't you, with the actual polar bear population?
Polar bear populations, from my understanding, are doing okay.
Doing better. Apparently, this is an entire chimera. The idea that polar bears are—I think they were taken from endangered or threatened to the whatever the lesser standard is. Look, it's John. It's one of those things where I think that, for instance, you're probably very well aware, John, that Volvo just announced that they're not going to be producing any more internal combustion cars. They're all going to be either hybrids or electrical cars that Volvo is making. So if the market can sustain that, more power to them.
That's the position I take too. Is that this is really a we can solve this problem by switching to nuclear power. by building more electric cars. This is a problem that we can make go away.
And probably we will. What about people? We have conspiracy day tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll get some calls on this. Alex, I don't know how to tell you this. There are an increasing number of folks, and of course they get in touch with me, who seriously believe there's a new book out on this. I think it is self-published, but it's very scientific. It's with footnotes. It has like 15 pages of sources. People who allege the greatest conspiracy of all is covering up the fact that the world is flat.
Yeah, I've read about it. There's a piece in the Denver Post about this, about that there's a clandestine group that will go into the back of a coffee shop and they watch videos about how the earth is flat.
Okay, what do you think the chances are that they're right?
About zero.
The earth is spherical.
Yeah.
Perfectly round,
not
but
perfectly
roundish.
Round. We have photographs. Yeah.
oh, but they're fake photographs. It's fake news. We'll be right back with no fake news from the author of The Little Black Book of Junk Science, Dr. Alex Barazow.
From politics to pop culture and from coast to coast, this is The Michael Medved Show. 1-800.
Go to AMAC's website, which you can link to. It's right a banner on my website on michaelmedved.com. Or you can call them at 888-262-2006. That's 888-262-2006. Speaking with the author of the newly released The Little Black Book of Junk Science, and it's listed from A to Z, you'll notice that psychology has its own very own heading there. Why?
Well, you know, psychology is fascinating, but there is a lot of popular cultural nonsense, largely due to Sigmund Freud, who, you know, bequeathed us with ideas such as that all of your problems originate from your mother. And a lot of what he said had no evidence whatsoever. And actually, a lot of psychologists think he held the field back.
And after 100 years, it still has no evidence. I mean, in fact, quite the contrary. I'm struck by the fact the most famous analysand, the guy who does psychoanalysis every day, apparently, is Woody Allen. And he's been doing it for 60 years
now. It's worked miracles for him, too, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Let's go to Paul in Burbank, California. Paul, you're on the MedVed Show with Alex Barazow.
Hey, guys. Hey, Michael, thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
It's always a pleasure. Hey, okay, so I just wanted to point out a couple of things about what you're talking about, make some distinctions, if that's okay.
Quickly.
When you talk about vaccines, it's not necessarily the vaccine itself. It's the liquid that it's contained in has toxins, especially if you get things from China and they don't have the controls, and that can cause a problem, and it does cause a problem.
Okay, Alex?
Everything that's in a vaccine has been well-studied. And to my knowledge, I don't think vaccines come from China. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think they do. You know, things like adjuvants, which trigger our immune response, everything that's in the vaccine has been well studied. This is one of the most studied things that we put into our bodies.
Next, Paul.
Not the liquid that holds the vaccine. If they have contaminants in there,
okay,
like mercury.
Did you want to go on to something else?
Okay, well, I was just commenting on that comment. But sure, the nuclear waste, it's totally disingenuous to say burying nuclear waste in a mountainside is something that's good for us overall.
No, where do you think the best thing to do with nuclear waste would be?
They really look. It's not an integrity with with our environment at all to do that. So I would say until they can figure out a way to make it not toxic or radiant. And there's a guy on your show here who says he's got that answer.
You can't do that.
Yeah, as long as there is nuclear waste where it is, why not put it in a safe location like Yucca Mountain? One of the questions asked in this new book, Junk Science, in this greatest nation on God's green earth.